Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few tea-growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from Bioway Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organics.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening. And now your host...
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to... The Farmers Market Podcast. It's the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, beekeepers, craft makers, and much, much more right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We keep it fresh and we keep it local. Here we talk about all things farmers market related. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and of course YouTube, and become a supporter of SCAFarms.com. It's the home base for My Farm Online and the home for Farmers Market Podcast. Please share with all your friends on Facebook and other social channels, and let me know if there's a local farmer that you would like to hear on the show. And you can do that on the website at SCAFarms.com as well. Now, today's guest, she's been running a family-owned Grade A raw milk dairy and creamery since 2012. They produce hundreds of gallons of goat's milk a year, and one of their cheese products is actually in the Swamp Rabbit Cafe's pizza kitchen. Everybody, welcome to the show, Tanya Bryson with Possum Kingdom Creamery.
Hey there, how you doing?
Doing great, Tanya. Thank you. Now, you can find Tanya and Possum Kingdom Creamery at pkcreamery.com and on Facebook at Possum Kingdom Creamery. And, of course, they've got an Instagram account, and it's at pkcreamery. Now, that's creamery with the K, folks, not a C. So, Tanya, tell me, what is Possum Kingdom Creamery, and what's happening on the farm right now?
Well, like you said, we're a Grade A raw milk dairy. We produce a variety of goat milk cheeses. We sell raw milk, fluid milk is raw. We do kefir. We do a caramel sauce. We have other products like eggs and things as well. Right now is actually entering into our slower time of the year because we let the does dry off about 2 months before we begin kidding again in the end of January. That's when everything starts over again in our milking season. So it's a little bit quiet on the farm right now, but we're still doing, you know, limited amount of products.
Now, how big is the goat herd that you have right now?
We milk right around 50 does during the milking season, which, again, starts late January, early February, and lasts until the end of November. Our herd is not large. We like to keep it small. Everybody has their own name. You know, we want to know who they are as individuals and not just as numbers. So,
now, I know you've been at some of the farmers market because the one I went to, I believe it was the Simpsonville one, where I think I tested all your cheeses. I think I was just hovering over your table. So I know you. I know it's good stuff. How long have you been doing? I know you've had the farm since 2012, but how long have you been into farming, or did it all start then?
Well, I grew up out here. I actually live on the same street I grew up on since I was 4 years old.
Oh, that's great.
Just right down the road from my family's home. Yeah, but we weren't farmers per se growing up, but I've always had horses. My dad had some animals, things like that. Then in, 2009, I believe it was, we started getting a little bit more concerned about, you know, where our food was coming from and what was going into it. And we decided to do a little homesteading and get a few goats. I talked to my husband to let me get a couple of goats, and it just kind of snowballed from there. I mean, I really enjoyed messing with them. I enjoyed milking them and making the products from the stuff that we produce here. And I started giving it away to friends, and everybody liked it. So we kind of went from there.
Now, so you have a little bit of background, but what did you do prior to the goat farm?
Yeah, in college, I went to Clemson University in animal science. I had kind of an emphasis in reproductive physiology. I didn't actually work in that field very much because even back then, pretty much the only jobs that were available were in factory farming type situations, which I didn't want to do even then. So for quite a few years, I did something different. You know, I've always worked with animals. I've worked with horses, and I groomed dogs. We had a pet store, things like that. We didn't start actually farming per se until about 2009.
So did all of those things prepare you for what you're doing now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I've always worked with animals. I've never done anything at all that didn't involve animals. And you know, so it was just kind of a, it was kind of a background. And I've got a little bit of an obsessive personality. So when I get interested in something, I just read everything I can get my hands on about it until I feel like I'm educated enough to take on a new project.
That's funny, yeah. Because a lot of the farmers that I'm talking to and just people who are, you know, vendors at the farmer's market, that's exactly what everybody's doing. Nobody grows up having an expertise in everything or a specific thing. And it's not until you start diving. It's like you said, you become obsessed with learning more and more and more about a specific thing that kind of lights your fire.
Yeah. And you find out what you're good at.
Definitely. Now, you said you do a lot of the milking. Is that right? Are you the primary milker as well?
I am. I do the majority of it throughout the year. Now, we do take volunteers in the form of, we call them woofers. There's an organization called Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And so we actually have individuals that come from around the world and come stay here on the farm in order to learn. They work for us. And we, you know, we feed them up, we house them. And they learn while they're here. And we've actually got two individuals here right now from Australia and another girl from Connecticut. So that's been a big help for us. And we enjoy having the people around. You know, most of the time it's young people, you know, in their 20s and early 30s. And so they're a lot of fun to have around. And they're a lot of fun to teach because they're really interested in what you're doing as well.
That's an amazing program. That is, I think I have read that one other place. It's Woofers, right?
Yeah, the acronym is WOOF, and it's Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. But their website is WOOF USA.
Oh, that's a great program. I know when I'm, and I'm much like you, a very small farm, but I know there's always times where I'm looking for my kids, actually. Actually, we stay, I'm looking for somebody to help me out, and it's my 12-year-old typically, so I have him tending to a lot of things, and he helps me out at the market, and so does my wife. But, you know, you always need an extra hand, so that's a great program, especially when you've got 50-plus goats running around. Now, how big is your property? I think you've got a unique arrangement, I think.
Well, we actually own only just under 17 acres, but our next door neighbor who owns an additional 16 acres has been my husband's best friend from way, way back, and he doesn't have any animals, so we actually utilize the whole property. We help him take care of his, and we can use it for additional animals. So basically, we have the use of 32. And we have a variety of animals. We don't just have goats. The goats are obviously primary, but we also have horses. And we have a lot of visitors to the farm that come just to see the variety of animals that we have here. So.
Yeah, and it's awesome. You have a very cool, I'm going to say, and I'm in marketing. I mean, that was my background a long time ago, and it still is now. But you have a very cool logo with the goat. Now, who came up with that?
Well, the name of Possum Kingdom is actually the area that we're located in. Nobody really knows. It's not incorporated. It's not a city or anything like that, but it's been Possum Kingdom as long as anybody around here knows. Nobody really even knows why anybody calls it that, but it's been that forever. And so we were just looking for something that people would remember. Years ago when I was training horses, I had it on my horse trailer, and I would go places and people were like, Possum Kingdom. And I was like, yeah, well, you won't forget it, will you? And they're like, no. So we just decided to use that. And we had another friend of my husband's is a graphic artist from high school. And he's the one that actually drew our logo. The goat in the logo is actually one that still resides here. She's 13 years old now. But her name is Honey. And so he used Honey's face as part of the logo.
That's great. That is awesome. Wow. There's so many tidbits there. That's just neat. That is just neat that you can be able to do that. And you've tied so many different things. That is unique to your farm. And it's just, you know, I get a big smile on my face when I talk to farmers and they have these stories. I mean, a lot of people make it complex and it's very simple a lot of times. And just to put two and two together, and it just warms my heart to hear that you've tied all of that together. It's amazing. Now, tell me some of the products. Now, you've mentioned a few, but what are the products that you have on the farm and some of the services that you guys offer there?
Well, the like I said, the primary product is probably the raw milk. We have a huge following for our milk. We have several different retail locations that we sell it around the upstate. We have a small on-farm store here, and we do, like you said, farmers markets, you know, a couple every week. We make several varieties or several flavors of Chev cheese, which is the soft, fresh goat cheese. We make two different varieties of feta. We do a plain one, and then we do a marinated feta. We make a goat milk caramel sauce. We make the stuff that we do for Swamp Rabbit is actually their mozzarella cheese that they use in their pizza kitchen. And it's actually made from another local farm, Happy Cow Creamery. We use their cow's milk to do that one with. And let's see, we do the kefir, which is a cultured fermented milk product some people are familiar with.
Do you offer anything on the farm in terms of tours and visitors and all that?
Yeah, we have from March to October is kind of our season for tours. People can book tours of the farm, and it usually lasts, you know, anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, depending on how interactive the group is. And we've had everything from disabled veterans to seniors groups to children, homeschool kids. I had Anderson County School District brought 60 kids out here a few weeks ago.
That is
so
awesome.
You know, we do that fairly regularly during the course of the year. And we enjoy doing that because people are so divorced nowadays from where their food actually comes from, particularly children. They don't know, you know, they've never been around it, a lot of the city kids. And so they, you know, it's really fun to show them and teach them and talk to them about where all the stuff happens.
Yeah, that is another big reason that I got into growing my own vegetables. And then, you know, I grew so much where I had to go to the market and try to sell it because I was like, okay, I've got to give this to somebody. And then the stuff I don't sell, I just give it away. Yeah, and I tell people, and that's the one thing they ask, how did you grow it? Or what? Tell me what, you know, what's this? How was it made? And I tell them, I say, well, I've got my seeds. They were local. They, you know, non-GMO. And I tell them, I grow it without pesticides. I try to do what Mother Nature intended, and I just try to keep the pests off as much as possible with the netting and just the daily care of taking care of vegetables, and mainly greens in my case. But, yeah, I can see you're doing the same exact thing. I mean, you do what you can in the scope of trying to say, okay, this is how I'm growing it. At least you can educate folks on what you're doing as opposed to somebody rolling into a store and not really knowing what took place to get it from the farm to the store.
Right.
And you can give the whole story.
Well, I like to talk to people about it, and I don't mind when people call and ask me what we feed the goats and how are they kept and are they out on pasture or are they confined. You know, people ask questions like that all the time because they hear things and, you know, they don't want anything coming from anything resembling a factory farm. So it's, our doors are open. You know, I love for people to come and see what we actually do, and they're welcome to do that. So, you know, we don't want to be behind closed doors. And like I said, we don't use pesticides or herbicides because we do have gardens and things mostly for ourselves. But we don't use any pesticides or herbicides on the farm either. So the goats are never exposed to that. So there's no chance of it being in the milk, you know, anything like that.
Well, and you mentioned something on the pre-show call when we were talking about goats, like, you know, in the U.S., it's all about cows and it's all about hamburgers. But across the rest of mm-hmm. the world, it's goats. I mean, in every other country, you're primarily yeah. getting goats. Explain a little bit about that for people who don't know.
Well, goats are, they're so much easier on the environment than cattle are. They require a lot less space and they require a lot less specialized forage. You can raise a dozen goats on the same amount of space that you can raise one cow. So particularly in smaller countries or countries that don't have, you know, desert types and things like that, they don't have the vegetation and stuff that we have or the pastures. Goats are, you know, their main source of red meat and of milk. You know, it's much too difficult for them to keep cattle. So the rest, I think it's the stat is like 70% of the rest of the world's population, their main protein is goat meat. And their main dairy product is goat milk and goat cheeses. So, you know, here in the United States, that's kind of foreign to us because, you know, it's been cows forever and ever. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, we have the climate and the environment to take care of them, and whereas these other places don't. So goat meat is now coming into the mainstream. It's starting to get a little bit popular. Goat meat and goat milk is starting to get a little bit more popular as people realize what a healthy, you know, healthy protein sources they are.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think I mentioned briefly, we had it seems like every time I talk to somebody and I share my story, it's always a horrific one. You've got a great thing going and I've got a bad story about goats, but I'll have to share it another time because it was not something, well, we quickly realized we were not ready for goats. Because you know, like a lot of people, you think you have some pasture and you think, okay, yeah, hey, goats, everybody says get goats, but you don't, you know, it's like what you talked about. You're an obsessive, you know, you want to learn more and more and more. And goats just kind of got thrust upon us all of a sudden. And we quickly learned that we weren't goat people
yeah.
at this moment. But there's something you told me about goats being picky about what they eat when a lot of people think they'll eat anything.
Well, I say all the time that goats have this reputation for being indestructible can eaters. And that is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. Goats are actually some of the most metabolically fragile animals that you will keep. Horses ain't got nothing on goats. People talk about horses being, you know, being tough with their metabolism, but goats are really difficult in some respects because we, as keepers, generally tend to force them to eat in ways that they're not naturally prone to eat. Goats are not grazing animals like cattle or sheep. People will call me when they say they want a goat to mow the grass, and I'm like, then you need to go to sheep. Because goats, grass is their last resort. They're more like deer, and they eat like deer. They browse, and they eat up off the ground. So they're not conducive to a lot of people. If you've got a lot of brush, if you've got a lot of, you know, weedy pasture, stuff like that, they're fantastic. And that's a really healthy diet for them as far as natural forage. But they're actually really particular about what they'll eat. They're very clean. If it drops on the ground, they won't eat it anymore. And that's part of their instincts with parasite control.
So the 5-second rule does not apply to goats, is what you're telling me.
No. They don't like to pick it up off the ground. And that's part of their instinct because the parasites are on the ground. So they don't have the parasite resistance that a lot of the grazing species have. So we have to be really careful with parasite control with goats. But I tell people all the time, it's not that they eat everything. They put everything in their mouths. They're like toddlers. It's like they explore their world by chewing on it or putting it in their mouth. But they don't actually eat it. So I think that's kind of where they got the reputation, but that's very far from the truth.
Anyone that's been around a child or has had a child or a grandchild knows exactly that experience. And if you ever the goats are always the ones, like at a petting zoo, they're always the ones sticking their nose out through the grate of the fence, and they're always touching and licking. And, you know, I remember my kids were young, and they would go up to the gate, and I'm like, no. Yeah. It's like, no, back up. Now, how can people get in touch with you if they say, you know what, I really want to try some of this goat's milk, because I know it's good. The cheese is phenomenal, because I had, like I said, I hovered over your table at the market.
Thank you.
So if people want to get in touch with you or they want to buy, I think, can they buy on your website?
We don't do like online orders. I honestly haven't figured out how to ship it yet. So we don't do online orders, but we do have an on-farm store during the season. Now, we'll be closed in December and January because we're getting ready for all the new babies to come. But during the regular season, we have a farm store that's open 3 days a week. It's available, like I said, at multiple places, you know, around the upstate, stores, Swamp Private Cafe in Greenville, Baloo Farms in Spartanburg. And they can just call me, you know, if they can't. It's on our website where it's available, but if it's not someplace near you or you want to find out where we're going to be, because we do different events and things like that, then just call the phone number and I'll be, I don't often answer the phone because my hands are busy, but I will return phone calls.
I will say if people reach out to you on Facebook, you do respond pretty quickly. I mean, that's a pretty fast way to get in touch with you
I try to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quickly finding out. A lot of farmers can't answer the phone because, you know, it's not near them. But, man, I tell you what, if it's on Facebook.
Say, it's much easier to respond via the written word, a quick text or a quick message on Facebook, because then you don't have to stop what you're doing and answer the phone and make sure you can hear and things like that. So that's why it's quicker with myself to reach me that way. So.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And the voice-to-text feature on the phones are phenomenal. So I just – I don't even have to stop. I don't have to look at the phone at all. I just press the record button and it does it all by itself. Now, let me ask you this. So in December and January, you're closed down. The farm store is closed down. So in February, if people were to start to come by – your farm store, will they not see all of the kids that are there that have been born?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that to me is a trip in and of itself.
Well, we actually do a program and where we allow people to come and help bottle feed the babies. That is, it's by sign-up only because it is so popular that, you know, sign-up books up really quick. But we put an online sign-up in January and people can actually come and help sign up for times to come and help bottle feed the babies. And we have children's days, too. So we have it. During most days, it's like 12 and older. It's adults. And then we do have days that are specially for the kids that we just concentrate on the kids. Now, the really young baby goats, they're not out where people can see them until it gets a little bit warmer, you know, because we bottle feed everything. So we have them, you know, basically a nursery. But you can, if we do tours or something like that, then we can certainly do that.
And what I learned in my brief encounter and experience with goats is you want a bottle-fed goat. You do not want the other type of goat, at least from me, because we tried to bottle feed a goat.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to handle it, if it's going to pet, Well, they're pretty easy, actually. They're not too bad if you know what you're doing. And I do coach people because we sell a lot of goats. So somebody buys a goat from me, and they can call me at any time for advice or help or anything like that. So the bottle-fed goat, if you're going to have a goat for a pet, if you're going to have a goat as a pack animal, if it's going to be a dairy goat, the bottle-fed babies are definitely the best. Now, if it's a meat goat or something you're not intending to make a pet out of, then it's perfectly fine if they're dam raised. But they're so much more personable because they think the people are the greatest thing in the world if they've been bottle-fed. So
I tell you what, I wish I would have had your number or at least the Facebook on. I wish I would have had it handy because we could have used somebody. We were in dire straits when it happened. And like I said, I'm not going to. It was a bad experience. Bad experience all the way around. And the mama rested.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the mama, she didn't make it. But it's okay. It's all right. It's, you know, you learn. No. Things happen. Things just happen on a farm. But let me ask you this. You've got a lot of products. You've got a lot of services. Are there any special offers that you're providing for our listeners today?
Well, once we're back in milk, we're very limited right now on what we have because, like I said, it's the end of our season. But once we're back in milk, if somebody tells me that they heard this on Stefan's podcast, then we'll do 15% off of their choice of cheeses, you know, off of a tub of Chev or marinated feta or whatever they want.
That's awesome. So all they have to mention is the Farmers Market podcast, and you will take 15% off of any purchase of any of your cheeses.
Yeah, that sounds, yes. That we will.
Awesome. I can't wait for them to take advantage of it. Plus, I'm probably going to get some, but I'll pay full price. It's all good. So let's do this. I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to get a little personal with you, Tanya. And I want you to see if you can kind of share with our listeners maybe one or two things that you've learned about life, whether, you know, it was starting the farm, the goat farm, or maybe it was just something else, whether it be a hardship or a challenge. Or maybe it was something positive that you learned that you knew, you know what, this is a great life takeaway that you'd like to share with some of our listeners.
Oh, wow. I learned simplifying things. I mean, there's absolutely nothing better. I love being out in the country. I love working with the animals, and I've always liked working with the animals. But it's like simplifying things and sharing what we know. A lot of people, they don't know that you can make cheese at home. They don't know that there's things. So it's been a lot of fun for me and a lot of growth for me to educate people and teach them things like that. And just, you know, go back to our roots, go back to, you know, nobody knows how to do anything anymore. So I love sharing what I know how to do, you know, with people. And I love learning how to do new things. You know, we have lots of other farm friends that have taught us skills and things that I didn't have before we started doing this. So it's just a real community. And we talk about it all the time about, you know, how much better it is because my husband is an engineer. He hated working in an office. You know, now we both work on the farm. So it's, you know, it's, we just enjoy it. We liked slowing down.
So there you have it. Simplifying your life. It can do wonders, not only for your life, but for those around you. And that's just amazing. Well, I tell you what, Tanya, I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. I want to thank you for sharing all you know about Possum Kingdom Creamery. I know we're going to have you on the show again. I want everybody out there listening to check them out online and to share this episode with everybody you know. Tanya, again, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you thinking of us.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think of you guys all the time, especially when I think about cheese. So everybody out there that's listening, your support as a listener is key. And most importantly, I want you to go out and support your local farms and farmers. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh and keep it local.
When the sun goes down tonight.
If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review.